You're listening to an audio sermon presentation from the Reverend Paul W. Simrell, pastor of Elpis Christian Church, Maidens, Virginia. You can learn more about our congregation and its ministries by visiting elpischurch.org. We also hope that you'll continue to access other sermons, Bible study and meditation materials, resources for pastoral counseling, and more by visiting our church's blog, which can be found at IGW3. That's the number 3, igw3.blog, or paulsimrell.com, or by visiting our congregation's Facebook page. Now, here's today's message. Our scripture verse for today's sermon comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, the 28th chapter, the first 10 verses. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake, and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet, and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. As it began to dawn. That's how Matthew sets the stage for us as we witness through his words the most significant act in all humanity's history. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Some say it never happened. Some say it's just wishful thinking, pie-in-the-sky religion that seeks to soothe the masses from the harsh realities of life, and the harshest reality of all, death. Some say, as they said in Jesus' day, that it just isn't true. Jesus of Nazareth was executed like a common criminal, was buried in a borrowed tomb, and that was that. That's what some say. Over 2.3 billion Christians disagree. That's billion with a B. Take that statistic in for a moment. Yes, it's true that if you take all the other world religions combined, the Christians, statistically speaking, are outnumbered. But that doesn't change the fact that, as an individual religion, they are still the largest group of all. And here's the thing. Let's not miss the point by getting into some numbers game. My point is simply this. Though you would have thought Rome, in all its power, and Jesus' enemies aligned with it, could have easily wiped out this tiny, insignificant fellow named Jesus, along with his equally tiny, insignificant group of disciples a long time ago. In fact, just the opposite occurred. I once heard a seminary professor say that the greatest proof of Christianity is that it survived at all, much less thrived. So here we are, Easter 2020, during a world pandemic, amid all the other great problems that face humanity, even apart from that deadly disease. Here we are struggling to worship, while we have had to hunker down, practice social distancing, refrain from all the normal activities we do at Easter. If you're hearing my words, it's because you're listening to them on an audio message that I recorded so that my small congregation could receive an Easter message, even though we did not gather as a group. None of that changes anything. Not really. None of that which divides us can do anything to destroy the truth of what we and 2.3 billion others boldly proclaim today. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. My wife Elizabeth has fond memories of growing up in the Episcopalian tradition, hearing those words as the priest in booming voice filled the sanctuary with that resounding proclamation, and the people responded in kind. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Let's look again at the scriptures and see what all the fuss is about. The Jewish Sabbath officially ended with sundown on Saturday. At that time, the women could purchase and prepare spices for the burial anointing of their beloved Lord. Matthew describes the scene as they now go to the tomb to pay this last loving tribute to Jesus. Then an earthquake comes. This is the second earthquake associated with Christ's death. The first occurred as he died, and the curtain of the temple that separated the people from its holiest inner sanctum was miraculously torn in two. Rocks split open, tombs were opened, and the dead were raised. That's right. Did you hear that? The dead were raised while Jesus died. And according to Matthew, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Clearly, no ordinary earthquake. Now there's a second one. And the scripture says, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men." Rome's elite guard passes out in utter fear of what is happening. Then the angel utters the words that so often angels uttered throughout dramatic moments in the unfolding story of Scripture. Fear not. Today, 2,000 years later, while we fear so much, we need to hold on to those words. Fear not. No matter what you or your loved ones or the world at large is going through, fear not. Why not? Because he's not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see where the Lord lay. The women did just that. They didn't run in terror. They saw it was true, and they ran with fear and great joy and told the disciples that Jesus was on his way and that he would meet them soon. And meet them he did, just as he had promised. That's why we worship today. That's why we have the victory over death, even while right now people are dying among us. That's why we need not fear, no matter what. You know, since this whole business of the coronavirus happened, I've told a number of people, albeit from a distance, maybe over the phone or on social media, that I'm really quite hopeful. Each time the response has been the same. There's been a pause, as if they are checking their ears to see if I said what they thought I said. Then they ask, "Really? Hopeful? Why?" And I tell them because, as terrible as it all is, it is an opportunity for a very sleepy church to wake up, be mobilized, and take action. It's an opportunity for us to love others in new ways, share our hope of eternal life because of the gospel, and fear not while others tremble. It's an opportunity for us to think about what really matters in life. It's an opportunity to find some new direction, even if it is forced upon us by unexpected job loss or social distancing or the illness itself. It's an opportunity to say we believe that it will not defeat us. It's an opportunity to be points of light where darkness seems to loom. I am sure there are those who will say that's foolish, but it's where I will take my stand. How about you? Easter is still happening. It is still taking place, this great celebration of life, even though churches, from the great cathedrals to the smallest country churches, are vacant. Because the truth stands in our hearts and our minds and our actions, wherever we are. Even if right now, as you listen to these words, you are physically alone. No, you are not alone. You are never alone. The Lord, the risen Lord, is with you. Right now, in this very moment, He is there. So how are you going to spend Easter today? Some may spend it working. Our first responders, our healthcare providers on the front lines, reaching out, caring, perhaps literally breathing for their patients, using bags they squeeze with their own hands, or sitting with those who are passing away right now. Pray for them and their patients. Some may spend it in gatherings of family or friends that are smaller than usual, but made even more significant by the threat of being pulled apart. May their gatherings be especially meaningful today. Some may spend it in our armed forces, protecting us as best they can. May God watch over them. Some, perhaps you, may spend all or part of this Easter alone. May you feel God's loving presence with you. Easter is happening. It is going to happen just as it happened the moment Jesus rose from the grave. Nothing can stop it. That is the gospel we proclaim today. It has just begun to dawn. Look, the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.